Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beat and Track Podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. On today's episode, I sit down to, a legit pop superstar in Kaiser, arguably one of the biggest selling pop singles of all time will be Hideaway. And from the peak of success, we find out about something that seriously derailed her as a person, which obviously had a big impact on her career. And we talk about it all today. It's a remarkable chat with someone that's been through ridiculous levels of injury and trauma, and alongside all of this, we talk about some fantastic records. Obviously, before we get on with that chat, just a big thanks to Kaiser for giving up her time and showing such vulnerability and talking about her journey. Thanks to the people at the Blue Murder Club podcast that produced this episode. Go check them out. I'd also like to thank Mr. Scroobius Pip, who heads up the Distraction Pieces Network, which this podcast is very proud to be part of. And the biggest thanks always go to you lot. If it's your first time listening to Off the Beaten Track, then welcome. You're late. There's 530 episodes out there now, so when you finish today's chat with Kaiser, go and get stuck in to the back catalogue. And why not subscribe? And then you won't miss anything. We have had chats with the likes of the Foo Fighters, with the Killers, with Chuck D of Public Enemy, with Suede, Blur, oh God, who else? Tommy Lee, Motley Crue. The list is endless. Go and have a good look about. If you like your dance music, I've spoken to Darren Emerson of Underworld. I've spoken to Fatboy Slim. There's hundreds. I can't remember them all, so go and have a look about. If you'd like to support the podcast, there's really simple ways you can do that. You can subscribe wherever you listen. You can give us a follow on the socials or give us a share on the socials. And if you really want to sponsor it and get loads more bang for your buck, please head over to Patreon. The Patreon account is there's a lovely bundle of people over there, and we do a live thing once a month where we all hang out on Zoom and we record a live episode, and everybody gets to chip in, and it's a really lovely thing. We change the subject each time. You can go and have a look in the back catalogue and listen to a few episodes to get a feel of it, and it's such a nice thing to do, and I love it. And so that's part of your Patreon deal. Now the deal is it costs you 80 pence a month or a dollar, and so for that you get invited to the live show. You get to watch all the episodes, because if you like to watch your pods, then you can go and watch them over on Patreon. There's a back catalogue of hundreds of unreleased episodes, hundreds of radio shows, mixtapes, and all sorts of stuff. And like I say, that's $1 or 80 pence if you're in the UK. And that just goes in the pot to help kind of cover the costs of running the pod. You can find out about that and everything else at the one-stop shop, which is the website, which is Off the Beat and trackpodcast.com. It's not beaten, it's beat and. You know that now. I've said it about 530 bloody times. Anyway, that's enough preamble. Let's get on to the chat. Please enjoy Off the Beaten Track Podcast with Kaiser.
It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin.
Okay, we are recording. Kaiser, how are you today?
Hi, I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I'm all right. So we've been chatting just before I've pressed record. So we've established that you're at home, but you're hiding because there's dogs everywhere.
Yeah, I do have one dog in the room. I have three dogs. I rescued a new dog recently, and he's become obsessed with my shepherd. And they kind of like, when they're separated, they bark for each other.
Love that.
But also that one is 5 pounds and one is 60 pounds and they haven't learned how to play. So you can't leave them unaccompanied in the same
room. That's problematic. Absolutely.
Yeah. it's a more recent development with them kind of calling out for each other in the house. But it's good.
Love
it's
it.
It's a good thing. They love each other.
And Kaiser,
I have a little Pomeranian in the room.
Wonderful. And Kaiser, where is home at the moment? Where are you calling in from?
I'm a little nomadic, but I'm calling in from LA. I live in Canada. I have a home in Toronto, but it actually flooded. And it was just poor construction, basically, I guess, from when it was built. And yeah, my house flooded. So it's lots of construction going on. So I'm in LA kind of camping out in a temporary spot.
And
yeah, but normally Toronto.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, let's start your playlist. So I'm going to ask you, Kaiser, for track one, please, to tell me the song that you regard as having the greatest ever intro.
That's a really hard question, first of all. So like, because there's just so many great intros. But an intro that has always just captivated my heart, and this is going to probably sound really random to you, but have you ever seen March of the Penguins?
I have.
The opening, I believe it's called The Harshest Winter. It's the very first thing you hear when it comes on. There are two chords in it. And it literally makes me have shivers every time I hear it. So the intro to March of the Penguins, I'll turn that on to just like calm down or like go into a state. Like it puts me into a trance. The intro of March of the Penguins. So I don't know. I don't think I can answer what's the greatest intro of all times. Like I love like Tame Impala, Less That I Know the Better. And I love a lot of different songs, but that one I literally go to hear the intro frequently to alter my mood. So
I can ask you in regards to songwriting and making music, since you're you've started making music and releasing music, Spotify has become this huge means for people to get music, and now we're seeing things like TikTok being used cleverly for people to market their music and things like that. But I think a lot of things with maybe the saturation of Spotify, where everybody's got everything at their fingertips as soon as they need it, and TikTok seems to be getting shorter and shorter, and the emphasis seems to be hook them straight away. And I wonder, any sort of like these sort of trends that are happening, does any of that filter through into your creative process when you're making music?
Me, no. No, I definitely, when I make a song, like the song coming out on the 22nd, I go dance. Sometimes I'll write a song and I'll think, okay, think of the batch. This one would make the most sense for TikTok. But I don't want to create with, it's not that I don't, I want to be of the moment. I want to be of the time, but I don't want the world to create for me, if that makes any sense. Like, I need to be channeling what is meant to come through me. And we're always being influenced by the world around us, no matter what. I really do believe that. So I don't want to sit and think, okay, I want to make a song for TikTok specifically, because I just don't feel like that I'm actually channeling my purpose as a musician, as a conduit, really. So I don't know. Songs really do flow through me in the writing process. I'll get in the studio and I can feel when the song's going to come. I can feel when it's not. Like, I just know. And then they kind of write themselves, or the whole melody will come all at once in a few of the lyrics. And then sometimes I have to fill in the gaps, but the songs do come close to complete very quickly. So I always feel like I'm channeling a lot of the time.
What's the process there, Kaiser? So, you know, you said that some days you're not feeling it, other days you do. What's the kind of, when you write, give us a kind of snapshot as to what that process is like. You know, have you got a favorite place where you go and sit and write? You know, do you listen to certain sort of music to be inspired? Like, what kind of gets the creative juices flowing?
I know a lot of people listen to music when they start the writing process. I do the complete opposite. I don't stop listening to music, but I stop listening to music to inspire the project. I don't want to be directly inspired by a song. I know that everything I've ever listened to in some way will inspire me, but I don't want that. Again, I don't want someone else's song to be writing my song.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I actually don't reference at all. Mm-hmm. But for example, there's many ways I'll write, because I write poems all the time. So if there's a line from a poem or a specific verse from a poem that I really like, sometimes I'll just have that on hand and as something I could potentially expand on lyrically. So sometimes I'll actually come with potential lyrics pre-written. And then when I hear, for example, I worked on this upcoming project, Sugar Jesus as the producer, he might send me the starter of an idea and it just clicks with this poem that I've written. And then suddenly I can put the two together. Or for example, I might write a melody and it feels like a poem, but then the poem's different. It doesn't fit. So I take the idea and then I rewrite it. So I guess the process for this upcoming album, because I one thing I didn't have for the last two albums was time. Because I wrote Hideaway and I had Giant in My Heart written the first album. I had No Enemies kind of like started. And that was it. And then I had to write the whole album in a span of like 2 months, and less than a month, honestly, because I was on the go. So like the accumulative days put into that album were less than a month, which is kind of insane.
Yeah.
Then the second album, some of the songs I'd just been going to sessions just for fun. I do that all the time. I had written a lot of kind of 80s sounding tracks, which I really like that vibe. But I didn't know what to do with them. And then I got in this big car crash and I was recovering and I suddenly was unable to have much stamina and bandwidth to do any kind of regular session because I could only go for an hour or two max. So I just looked at what I had already and I had a lot of kind of 80s sounding tracks. So I was like, okay, well, there's a sound. Let me just add a few more and then we'll have a strong album because I had already kind of pre-written. So that album, the second album, Crave, was written before and after my injury. So it's like two chapters thrown together. And then suddenly the pandemic hit exactly when I was coming out with that. I was still heavily in recovery. So I was kind of like doing everything in these tight little windows as fast as I could. And I'm very proud of both albums. But again, I was like under these weird, this weird pressure and these weird circumstances and this kind of compression in the studio where I had to turn things out quite fast and under just not normal circumstances. I was in a lot of pain for the second album, so I specifically wanted it to be really happy because I could not process more pain. I couldn't even go into my dark side. I just wasn't even ready for that yet. And then the pandemic hit, so I was like, I don't want to put anything dark into the world while the whole world's in shock. So I very purposely kept that album happy, except for one song. There's Love Never Dies. It's kind of dark. This next upcoming album, it's the first time I've had time to actually write. And it's gone through so many different developments. And it actually became a bit like my own journal entry. And through the process, I met who's now one of my best friends, Kay Sotomayor. We just clicked and where we were on our journey, and she's an amazing songwriter. So I told her I was working on an album, and I'd love to have somebody to, like, another writer in the room to draw things out of me, to bounce ideas off of, and just have someone else there. So it became Sugar Jesus, Kay Sawmeyer, and myself trying to extract essentially 6 years of recovery and processing the past. And I spent, you know, a decade before Hideaway as a folk songwriter, singer-songwriter, with all these songs that no one has ever heard that sound completely different to anything that's out there. And coming back this time, I felt like I really wanted a whole version of myself put into my music. There's always these circumstances, like I was rushing and, you know, I couldn't really, maybe I was writing like Hideaway. I wrote the song, I wrote all the melody, all the lyrics, but the beat was kind of pre-done. You know, I didn't have time to put myself everywhere in little ways. Like this upcoming album, for example, there's hidden whale sounds all over it. You might not hear them, but they're there because whales are really healing. So there's all these little things in the music that, and Kay is obsessed with whales and made me obsessed with whales in the process. So it's just, there's friendship built into the music. There is us talking for days on end about why we exist, why we're even here on Earth. And then Sugar is sending a beat and it sounds like, you know, like a pole dancing song after we've just had this deep existential conversation. And we're like, how do we put this idea into this idea? And then you hear, I mean, that was kind of the process with, this upcoming song, I Go Dance, which is coming out next. We were having this deep conversation. It was many days long. And then he sent us this song that we're like, it's a dance track. It's like a go to the club and dance. But we snuck in our little poetry in the verse.
I was talking to someone the other day about things that have been sort of put into records that you might not hear that really do kind of find their way in, you know, into you. And something I didn't know, I don't know if you know this, but apparently on one of the last Michael Jackson records, he was using these frequencies and these, whatever these sounds are, that trigger goosebumps. And like, and there's an actual sound or frequency, because not everybody gets goosebumps.
I get goosebumps
and music gives me goosebumps, but there is a sound that can be used that actually triggers goosebumps, which is mental. And yeah, it was just when you said about them whale sounds, I was just thinking, like, I had a conversation a couple of days ago about something that you'd never know was there that still has its effect.
If you think about movies, like, no movie would be what it is without the music driving the emotion of that film. Like,
who'd ever watch Jaws without a soundtrack?
Exactly. So, I mean, Jaws, that it makes you feel tense every time.
Yeah, absolutely.
It does have this power to move our emotions.
Well, that's good.
You learn in music school or in theory, you know, major, minor, seventh, sounds like a horror movie. And it just, there are chords that every time will sound scary, and ones that will sound happy and ones that sound sad every time without fail. So,
well, it's fitting that we're. It's fine. If it's fitting that we're talking about emotions, because I'm going to ask you now to tell me the first song that you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you, please.
So that song is One Tin Soldier. You know, I don't even. I forgot to look up who the original was, because I actually heard it for the first time when I was at camp, sleeping in a teepee, when I was about seven. And I'd heard many songs before I was seven that I guess moved me, but this song moved me in a way that I'd never been moved before. Have you ever heard that song, One Tin Soldier?
Tin Soldier, was it originally by the Small Faces?
Yeah, I should have looked that up, because I learned it. It's sort of like, you know, many, many generations before we had writing and all this, people, we used to just pass things down word of mouth. That was passed down from me, from my camp counselor to me. to my mom learning it, to I learned it, just somebody taught it to me, and I only ever played it on the guitar.
Yeah.
And because it was kind of given to me that way, I never even thought it. It didn't almost didn't feel right looking it up. It was weird. It was meant to be played in the room in the moment. So I've never actually, I don't even have a version of that song recorded on my, I don't have it on Spotify. I don't have anywhere I play it on the guitar. You should definitely listen to the lyrics of that one. It hit me because it's the story of two kingdoms. One's on a mountain and one's in a valley. And the valley people have this idea that there's treasure on the mountain. And so they demand that the mountain people give them their treasure, and the mountain people say, okay, yes, we'd love to share our treasure with you. And the valley people say, no, we want it all for ourselves. So they declare war on the mountain, and they essentially slay everybody. And they I don't want to give away the whole song, but they, when they get to the treasure, they turn around this stone, and the treasure, all it says is peace on earth. And it hit me because it's such a beautifully written song, but I was like, wow, those people just killed all these people who wanted to share this treasure with them because they wanted it all for themselves. And then they found that the treasure was just peace. And I was moved. I was really moved.
What was the emotion?
And that's when I wanted to learn a song. At that, when I was that age, I didn't actually know how to play the guitar yet. So I'd have my mom play it or whatever. I sang it, played it on the piano maybe, but because I didn't learn guitar until I was like 16.
Yeah.
And then I started playing it. I should play that one, actually. That is one of the first songs. It really impacted me. It's what made me really care about lyrics, because I'd never been moved so much about from a song lyrically.
If you had to pinpoint the emotion, what was it?
It's a tough one. Just complete. I was really in shock. I think we grow up around hearing so much about war, and there's always an enemy and a bad person and a good person, and then, but really, we all can achieve peace. Peace is very obtainable. We just have to stop fighting. And then I really realized that. I can't even honestly pinpoint the emotion, because it was a mix of like shock, sadness, awe of the power of lyrics. I felt greed for the first time, truly. It made me just think about the world. But it's hard to put. There's like a mix of emotions. It was a bit of a melting pot for me.
Okay.
It still, to this day, those lyrics hit me. Everybody should go listen to that song.
Well, we do a little Spotify playlist to accompany the podcast with all of the songs that we talk about. So we make it nice and easy for people to go and...
I'll find a version for you, and I'll send it after that. I feel like really gets it across. I love it when it's just one person and a guitar. I almost don't like it, because that's how I knew it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't like when it's overproduced, but.
We're going to stay in the formative years for the next track.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm going to ask you guys to tell me the song that reminds you of your time at school, please.
Oh, man, that was a funny one because, again, there's so many years at school, but I have vivid memories of dancing to My Humps by the Black Eyed Peas. and like, I was not a cool kid in school. Like, I was nerdy. I had no... I had my own fashion sense, which I still do, but I hadn't honed it in a way that I think stood out artistically yet. It was a little weird. I was a weird kid. So I just remember, I vividly remember the cool kids and me, and like there was like a dance party at our school and we all connected over My Humps. We just, it was so funny to us that we all just, it kind of brought us all together. And I don't know, it was just, it was like, there's many songs. Like for example, another song that came to mind was Music by Madonna. I remember being on the school bus.
Have you heard that lately? That
together.
Have you heard that lately?
Not super recently, but
do you know what? I heard it about 3 weeks ago, and it still sounds incredible. The production on that record, it's so good. I don't know if that was Stuart Price that done that, but oh my God, the production.
I might have been. Stuart Price is amazing. Yeah. He did Phantom of the Dance Floor, my song Phantom of the Dance Floor.
Oh, did he?
And he did Sensuum Defectuae. Yeah, we got together and somehow ended up making campy horror music.
Amazing. Amazing. Kaiser, did you enjoy school?
I loved it and I hated it. I loved the kids. I loved the art. I really hated tests. It was not a system that was designed for a kid like me. I remember a teacher actually pulling me aside because I did really bad on a test. And she was just confused because I was the kid with my hand up in class all the time. And she just asked if she could just talk through the test with me. And I got 100% when I just spoke through it with her. So just the anxiety of taking a test and having to cram everything. I didn't quite understand why we were cramming all this information into our brain and not using it. I actually thought about school a lot and it didn't make a lot of sense the way things were done. Like I would always question the system. It wasn't like that. I was in the military too. And I always like to kind of try to improve things. So I'll go and I'll give my suggestions and then I learned very quickly, don't do that in the military. The school, yeah. I mean, I love people. I've always loved people. I've always been fascinated by people, even people who don't accept me. I've always liked to observe them. And I was very shy as a child. So I watched a lot growing up. And it made me just very fascinated by human nature. So I honestly, it's weird because I went from being hyper shy to being extremely outgoing through this process of my school years.
Where did that confidence come from?
It came a little bit from, I was in a lot, my mom did throw me into a lot of like theater, but it's interesting because I was really shy around regular people, but when I went on stage, I didn't feel scared at all. And so all this energy that I was bottling up came out so big that I was the opposite on stage. And I remember I auditioned for, at the age of 7 as well, actually, this big show called the Grandstand Show at this Calgary Stampede. And you play for like 30,000 people. So it's a huge show for a child to be part of. And here there's like many kids. It's almost like the Mickey Mouse Club, and you go out and you perform, and there's different age groups. It's a big show. And I auditioned for that, and I ended up getting in, which to my parents' shock, you know, I was clinically shy. So,
yeah.
And then I ended up being walking out with my hands on stage, and I was just like this. I was a totally different person on stage. And so there was like stage me, and then there was life me, which couldn't talk to anyone. And I just slowly, because I felt I could feel both, I couldn't quite figure out how to bridge that gap, you know? And so I would figure out, okay, why do I feel like I can connect with every person on stage, but I can't connect with anyone in real life? And I just talk to myself, and I'd experiment with communication. I'd watch how others communicated, and I practice, and I did learn very quickly I was not normal. Like I really am different. Like I have a slightly different brain too. I am actually, I'm ambidextrous. I write with both hands. I'm a mirror writer. I write mirror with my left hand. Like I have some little quirks that I have learned are not normal.
Tell me.
But yeah. I was just going to say, I ended up just sort of embracing myself. And I think the moment that I did, I became confident in myself.
There's something so beautiful about that, finding that confidence when you're comfortable with yourself. I think that's, you know, if you can find that when you're in your formative years, you're very lucky, because that's, yeah. There's, you know, I'm a 50-year-old man, and I still question it. Do you know what I mean? but you mentioned that, you know, you was doing theatre at school, and then you then mentioned that, you later joined the military. What did you want to be when you was at school?
I never knew what I wanted to be. The question was always so, like a prison cell to me. People always ask you, what are you going to be when you grow up when you're a kid? And I'd be like, why do I have to be something? Like, I'm going to be like 20 different things. Maybe I'll be for a short time one thing, and I'll change, because I was like, how boring is that to just be one thing? Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is that I did end up as a musician, and I embraced that fully, because the beauty of music is it moves through everything.
Yeah.
So I found something that actually finds its way everywhere. But my passion was really with science. I really did love trying to understand what everything was. Like, what are we? Why are we here? How do we work? Why do we work? Can you grow an ear? You know, like, I was looking into genetics, like they're like growing ears on the backs of mice. But then I also am like, I don't want to hurt mice. So I was very confused, but fascinated by so many things. So I saw myself maybe going into science, but the thing is you know, we had there's like a very tough side of our upbringing. We struggled a lot financially, and I say my house wasn't like a peaceful environment necessarily. So music, I would just write songs as journal entries. That really is how it started. I didn't know how to process my emotions. I didn't know what I was feeling, and I think school learned, like doing things like poetry in school, like I think that taught me that. And then I would just write. I'd write my feelings and not share them with anyone. And to this day, I have not fully let this side out of me, because it's so vulnerable. And I'm getting there. Like, this next project is actually bridging this gap to that side of me, because I realized this whole process of the car injury, the car crash that I went through, that if I had died in the car crash, would I have been satisfied with what I put into the world? And I, at that time, I wasn't, because I didn't put all, like, the expression wasn't whole. It was whole in the choice. Like, me as a dancing, you know, performer, was that sliver of me was pure, but it didn't include the depth. I guess my experience of living, like, you know, so it's tough. I have thousands of these songs, and I will put them out. I even thought of putting them out on like under a different name, maybe.
Yeah,
but I think I'll just put them out. I don't know. Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Okay.
But the new music. So there's going to be three songs. We get up to I Go Dance, but there's going to be a shift after the third song, and you're going to start hearing the folk side coming through the dance music.
Oh, wonderful.
So there's going to be three folk hybrid house tracks.
Amazing.
Yeah. And I'd say the last song of the batch is the closest, sort of like breaking the shell into this really poetic side, because the lyrics can be, depending on how you listen, how you read them or listen to them, they can mean different things. They're kind of written ambiguous, but they're written to crack your eggshell, make you think. So,
I'm going to ask you to tell me, please, the first record you remember buying from a record store, please.
It's an interesting story because my mom had already bought this record, Sarah McLachlan's, what was the name of that album? I don't even, because the song Building a Mystery. It was Building a Mystery.
I'm not sure.
I was looking at the song. I wrote down the song, not the album name. Ah, I know the album name. It's just falling out of my memory right now. But I loved the song Building a Mystery, like to the point where I was probably that annoying kid who just played it over and over and over and was like, again, 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 again. So I ended up, because we, you know, CDs got scratched back then, I ended up scratching the CD and I went and bought it again. So
do you still do that? Like when you find a song that you love, I still do it to this day. If I find a song that like fries my brain, I'm like, has this happened? This is just too good, this song. Like I will listen to it, get in my car, repeat. And it's not like I'm trying to break it down as a musician and try and work out the parts, but just the magic of it. Just like have a song create something so amazing. And do you still do that?
Oh yeah, all the time. I'll go through. It's like if the song perfectly balances the void within us, I think that's when we get suspended in it. We all have a void somewhere within us, and we go looking for it in another person or in an activity or in, you know, like our hobbies. We're trying to fill this void, but music fills it, is really good for filling this void temporarily.
Yeah.
And every now and then there's a song that it kind of connects the outside experience with the inside experience. And suddenly you feel yourself.
Yeah.
You can feel yourself in a way that you're not attacking yourself and you're just flowing between you kind of the dream state and reality. And it doesn't last forever too, because you'll repeat. And then one day the song doesn't fully do that to the extent that it did the second you heard it. But that's what I really do believe. I kind of came up with a word for that experience because it didn't exist. About the journey in two directions, which I would tell myself when I was recovering, because I resisted the inward journey for so long with my recovery because I was in bed for a long time, kind of grieving over the loss of my life that I had. I was literally just breaking in every way. Like I had already had my number one song and I was touring the world and I was just becoming a headliner act at festivals and I was just getting into brands and I was just meeting all these like cool, huge artists and like I was at the pinnacle. And I do believe the journey that is set out for us is maybe not pre-designed, but there is a purpose to our lives. Because the way that everything went for me was just so opposite. My best friend died suddenly. In the midst of it all. And then the next album I was working on, the producer committed suicide. And then I got in a car crash. And then it all came together effortlessly, like a snowball. I didn't even know how it all happened. Like I didn't orchestrate it and it just kind of came together, but then it just as quickly, it all just dematerialized before my eyes. And it took so long to get there. I mean, it looked like an overnight success, but I worked and worked and worked and worked, and I struggled, and I was making barely any money at the time, and I just had gotten a publishing deal, so I was beginning as a songwriter. Then Hideaway came out. So suddenly, I can't even get out of bed. I'm literally lying in a dark room. I can't listen to music. I can't watch TV. I can't even really use my brain because it hurt to think. I can't be in groups. I can't dance. Nothing. I couldn't do anything. And I was grieving the loss of myself. I was basically like, it was like I was at my own funeral and I was the only one there. And I was forced to go in on the inward journey. I had no choice. That was the only way to go. So I eventually just made a choice. Okay, my identity, I had to let go of my identity as this big dancing, singing performer. And I had to just accept, maybe I'll never do that again. My job now is to heal. I'm an injured person and I'm healing. The moment that I accepted myself again, it really comes down to self-acceptance always. My healing process, like even my body, like just the stress of holding on to the past went away. And by letting go of that stress, my body was able to relax in a way that it was able to start healing more and faster. And then just, you know, I don't know. Life is weird because the moment that you psychologically work through something, things just start orchestrating. Suddenly the doctors, a neurologist or a chiropractor found something that everybody missed, and then suddenly they fixed that, and then suddenly the spinal fluid in my head was now draining properly, and suddenly, you know, like the pressure I felt like someone was punching me in the skull all day every day like this for like a year and a half straight. I don't even know how I made it through. It was like being tortured. So suddenly everything started being relieved, and it was a slow process, but it was noticeable. So I went inward. I just was like, you know what? Okay, this is working. So I'm going to go on this intense journey. And in the process of that journey, I actually realized that both journeys are always forever impacting one another. So the work we do internally will...
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Immediately change our outward experience and the way that we experience everything, the conversations we have, the relationships we have. If you're in a bad mood and you walk through paradise, you won't see it.
Yeah.
So I realized that we're always living in two directions. We are always living outward and inward at the same time, and they have to be in balance with one another. So if one is out of balance with the other, it's like a pendulum that will just tip the scale. You have to be balancing them. And so I was like, where's this place in between, this place of perfect balance? There's this place where you're going in both directions and they work together. And I came up with this word called lanue. And it just means the bridging of heaven and earth. It means living in two directions at the same time. And so that's kind of been my thing. I'm always trying to get the lawn away.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you don't have a word, you just got to make it up.
Absolutely.
So it just, the word kind of just came. I didn't really overthink it. It just kind of popped in my head. So yeah, because we're always, it's like one or the other. We're going internal or out or external, but we are always, it's always one journey, but in both directions at the same time. So it's more like we're unfolding than moving on a straight line. It's like a flower. We're kind of just, it's unfolding from the source. So anyways, that is a long answer to a Sarah McLachlan song.
Well, I'm going to take you clubbing for this question. And I'd like you to tell me the song that soundtracked your years going clubbing, please.
I had a very funny clubbing chapter in my life because I was not a clubber at all.
Where was this? In Canada?
At college. I was in Boston and I was like, okay, you know what? I've decided to be a musician. Let's do this. And when I make a decision, I get a little obsessed. And so I was like, okay, I gotta like connect with other artists. And I was not, I kind of was thinking bigger than a lot of my peers. Like a lot of my peers in college were competing with each other. And I was like, I want to compete with the biggest in the world. So I was trying to get in touch with like, I, no word of a lie, got myself into Paul McCartney's office without him there. But I got to like his assistant. Like I have a song on his publishing company. Like I was really...
Don't get any bigger than that.
Was the hustling game. But, you know, nobody was really taking me that serious at that time. But there was this one time that LMFAO came through Boston and somebody told me, and I was playing a little like college gig across the street. And I had a guitar with me and Red Foo played a guitar. So I was like, okay, I came up with this plan and I went up to the front door when I did my gig, because it was earlier. And I was like, hey, Red Fruit wants his red guitar and he forgot it and he asked me to bring it for him. And it was the exact guitar.
That's genius.
Yeah. And so they're like, oh, okay. Yeah, we'll bring you. They brought me right up to the stage and I jumped on stage. I was like, you know what? You only live once. So I jumped up on stage with my red guitar and I started just air guitaring. And then as he's on stage, he just kind of like looks over and is like, what? And he doesn't question. He just pulls his phone out on stage, hands it to me, and is like, put your number in my phone. So he ends up calling me and was like, who are you? I was like, I'm Canada. And he's like, oh, you're cool. Do you want to come out to LA? Like, what do you do? And I was like, I'm a musician, obviously. I play guitar. So he flew me out to LA. And I was the first girl on Party Rock Anthem.
Wow.
Yeah. Get up, get down, put your hands up to the sand. That was me, actually. And his label wouldn't let me be on it because I was a nobody. And they wanted to launch that other girl as like the Pussycat Dolls new lead singer or something. So they took me off. But I was, there is a version of Party Rock Anthem with my voice on it.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So, and they are like, the clubbers of all clubbers. So I was like, suddenly I'm like hanging out with LMFAO. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to the club now. So I literally, my clubbing experience was with LMFAO. And I was in the room when they wrote Sexy and I Know It.
Wow.
So I actually know the whole story.
That's incredible.
I think they might get mad at me.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, so I would like literally just go to different shows with them. They'd be in like New York. I'd go and go backstage, and I was walking around with all the shufflers. So Quest Crew, a lot of those dancers are my really good friends to this day. And that was like my clubbing experience. So I put the song Sexy and I Know It. Yeah. I think I should have put Party Rock Anthem. But
I mean, what an opportunity to seize the moment and just think, fuck, I'm just going to jump on stage and go for it. That's amazing.
Yeah, I was like, I got a guitar. if someone jumped on my stage and guitar, I'd think that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I just
wait. You've said that now. You're just going to get hundreds of people with guitars now just rocking up at all your shows.
I think they just thought I was. The thing is, like, people didn't know that I wasn't playing.
Yeah.
They don't even really notice. Like, people don't even notice that the guitar is not plugged in. It could be wireless. It could be, you know.
Yeah.
So they're just, like, probably thinking, oh, she's probably just one of those synth sounds.
Love it. Yeah. All right.
So that was a fun chapter, and I really just went for it.
Absolutely.
I went full spandex. Like, here's the thing. I always go way too far. So I started, like, making my own aviator goggles because I couldn't find any that were neon. So I, like, would custom make aviator goggles with my name in the lenses. And I was like, if I'm going clubbing, I'm going, like, I came up with my own word, steam pop, instead of steampunk. It was like neon steampunk. So I was just, that was my era. I was, like, wearing, like, layered neon spandex and aviator goggles I custom made.
So cool.
I was pretty wild back then. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I'll just make them myself. And I ended up, because I thought the aviator goggles were so cool, I had so many pairs made, I ended up going to record labels and I'd just walk in and I'd say, I had a gift for you. And I would give them aviator goggles with my name in the lenses. So a lot of record labels had, like, on their desks, these goggles with my name on it. So,
that's so cool.
I was like, at least they'll know my name. Yeah.
Kaiser, for the next track, I'm gonna take you home and ask you to tell me, please, a favorite song from an artist from your home county, please.
From my that one. I put Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen.
Oh, let's talk about that. Oh.
I know. That song, to this day, I'm like, how did he write that song?
Is that your favorite version, Leonard Cohen's?
I love the Jeff Buckley version. And I know that I don't know the full story, but I believe that he actually met up with Leonard and helped choose the verses. And
Wow. Apparently
there's like 100 verses, which I'm just...
Really?
Yeah. Which I'm so mad that I never got to read all of them. But apparently there's, like, so many verses and he didn't know which ones to pick necessarily.
Have you heard John Cale from the Velvet Underground's version?
A long time ago. Oh, I gotta hear it again. Yeah.
That is.
I have a version. I just haven't put it out because I feel like so many people have put it out, but
yeah.
I'm like, that's probably not a reason not to put out, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe I will.
Oh, what?
But that, so that, I have so many funny stories. I convinced a radio announcer in my hometown, Calgary, to put me on the radio for the first time ever that I was ever on the radio. I sang Hallelujah.
How did that go?
It went good. It was actually a live show that was being broadcasted, and I was still very unknown at the time, so I wasn't like a known name even in Calgary. But I was very convincing on the phone. Oh yeah, no, it was. I heard he was going to be in my neighbor's house. I went over to my neighbor's house, just showed up, and I sang a little bit and just asked if I could be in the show, and he was really nice. He put me in the show, and I remember. There was another local musician there at the time who was, her name was known a little more in locally. I can't remember her name actually, but I remember she mentioned to me, she was like, you know, I don't usually see a new person that I think is really going to make it, but I think you're going to really make it. And I remember that really motivated me.
It's amazing when people see something in you though, isn't it? Right. And to vocalize it. And because so many people, when they see talent in people, a lot of time people are not necessarily forthcoming in telling them. And I think it's so important, certainly in them formative years, to have someone go, what you're doing is great. You know, you're going to be successful. Like, that's so important.
I know. And just in general, think of all the times that we see something we like about a person, but we never tell them.
Yeah. It doesn't cost anything, right?
It costs nothing. And we barely get complimented. truly and genuinely complimented, but yet so many people do think compliments of us. So if we could only say them out loud.
Yeah.
I do try now a lot more. I really try to say it, because a lot of times we do just think in and it doesn't. I mean, the brain fixates on negative a lot more than positive.
Yeah.
For a few reasons, you know, for its survival instincts likes to latch on to negative. But I think that's why we tend to insult people more than we compliment them.
Yeah.
Tell them what they're doing wrong. We don't necessarily tell them what they're doing right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Guys, it's your last track, and I'm going to ask you to be a tastemaker here, and I'm going to ask you please to tell me a track that you think many people may not know that you would like them to hear.
I picked a really funny track for this one because it's a lot, but there's this track that I just love. It is so Canadian. It's not even funny. It's called, Truck Got Stuck.
Yeah.
And it's by Cord Lund, and it's about his truck getting stuck. Have you ever heard, Chef got stuck in the floor, got stuck in the show, or Dodge and stuck in the show, wait, then Dodge show up. It's almost like a tongue twister. I love this song. I've always loved this song. I don't know if many people know it outside of Canada, and it's a very specific, it's kind of like a little bluegrassy.
Yeah.
But I love this song, and I was just like, you know what? I'll throw that one on. There's a lot of songs I could put in there. I mean, honestly, there's, if you want to throw some more, I love this song, Middle of Nowhere by Vancouver Sleep Clinic. Do you know Vancouver Sleep Clinic?
I checked that yesterday. That is unreal. That is so good. I'd never heard that before.
I love him. You should just check out more of his music. It really is like keeps you in that vibe.
Mm.
It's beautiful writing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. I had a whole other list that I gave you.
Yeah, I've put them all. I've put them
quickly that list if you want, and just rapid fire.
I have put them all on the Spotify playlist. They're all on there as well, so people can listen to those.
Just quickly go through and give a little.
Do thing. It. Rattle them off.
Okay, can you read them up? Because I don't actually have them in front of me.
Yes.
We have.
Bear with me 2 seconds. On here. We have. I can open it. Middle of Nowhere by Vancouver Sleep Clinic. Then you chose Beautiful Strangers, Kevin Morby. And then Hey Ma by Bon Iver. Oh, what a record that is.
That one, literally, I don't know why, but a friend of mine passed away last year. And the day I found out, I played that song and it like made me feel okay. Not okay, but it just I was like floating, like what you were saying. I just played it over and over and over. And then I was like, I don't even know what this song is about. I was like, what is this song even about?
Yeah. Fuck.
But that really like, it got me through the shock of just hearing this news.
You also chose Memory Lane by Teresa Elise.
That's a student of mine. So I started mentoring. Yeah, I started mentoring students. That's one thing I decided when I was going to come back, like when I really chose to come back to music. I thought about like what I wanted to change or what I struggled with the most becoming a musician. And it was having someone help open the door, because most people shut the doors. They don't want people in. They get their chance and then they guard it, you know? And I honestly, if I can help somebody surpass me, I'll feel so proud of myself. Like, we can only go so far in life, and I would love to get to where I get and then see people I've helped go further.
Yeah.
So I mentor. So I've been going out to Norway as a school that I mentor in a very specific way that I basically crack the shell and extract their authenticity very quickly. It's very intense. And Teresa Elise, that was the first song she ever put out, and she was such a brave student. And so unique. She was one of those students that was just different. She wasn't following the grain, you know, like the stream. She was experimenting. She sings in 4 languages. She's Norwegian Congo, Norwegian Nigerian. And she's bringing together culture. I really believe she's a very special and unique artist. And I'm just really excited for her journey. So I have that on, I have this playlist I make called Fourth Cloud from the Left. So my manager had I didn't see the questions until the last minute, and so I had 14 songs picked out, but my manager said pick 7 songs that influenced this new chapter. And so these songs were from this playlist, basically, that I actually, it's interesting because I made dance songs, but I didn't listen to any dance music during the time that I decided to become, to go back to dance.
Yeah.
I was sort of in a healing process. So I was very folky, very back to those, that side of myself. And then working with musicians, with artists, younger artists. So a lot of these songs are just from this playlist. I should actually release this playlist to you. I should send it to you.
Yeah, do it. Do it.
Just, yeah. And because it's a playlist I just throw on for a long time.
Yeah, send it over. Because I will mention the others that are on this one here. And you chose Monument by Rykesop and Robin. And that is when I first heard Every Heartbeat by Robin, that was one of them songs that I played a million times because I couldn't understand what was so amazing about it. Okay. hasn't got an instant chorus. It's just got something. I don't know what it is.
They're so amazing that when you put them together, it's perfection.
Yeah.
They could do anything and it would be that good. Yeah. I swear. I'm just like, can I please get in the room with them?
Absolutely.
It's funny because I have a friend whose friend makes videos with Rykesop, and I have another friend who works with Robin, and I'm like, if I can just, or I can just kind of try to get them all in the same place, yeah, at the same time with me in the room, it will be a very good scenario.
So. Wonderful. Twang by Mason Ramsey.
Okay, so I've begun yodeling on dance music. You'll hear a little snippet in one of the songs coming up, Strangers, more in the drop, but so it's called Dancing and Crying Volume 1, which means that there's more volumes. So instead of, it's interesting because, you know, we're in an album singles world, but I realized the kind of person I am is I jump between so many different sides of myself. I have the dance side, the R&B side, the folk side, and I don't necessarily want to put out all these different names and we compartmentalize. We're in a very specialized world. And it actually, it's funny because when I was going to the doctors all the time, there's all these specialists and they're really good at this one thing. And then this person's good at this one thing, but there's no Sherlock Holmes connecting the dots. And so, and music's like that. They're like, what genre are you? Even people are like, what playlist do you want to go? Like, would this go on? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, it's all these different things. And so even when I have all these different sounds, I always get told, maybe you should start another project and put it out under a different name. But I'm like, no, but it's me.
Yeah,
it's
still
me. And I know it's confusing. So instead of starting different names, I'm making volumes. So Dancing and Crying is a river, essentially, that can keep flowing. So volume one, I like the number 6. I don't know why. So volume one is one of many volumes of Dancing and Crying. And it's like one rivette, you know, there's like me being the main river and then these little rivettes kind of break off and these are all connections to the whole.
Yeah.
I have one song that I've had for a few years now that honestly, so many people, it's their favorite song that they've ever heard. And I text it to people when they're going through a rough time. And I've been asked by 2 people, can it be on my movie soundtrack? And it's just a folk demo. And I'm like, so waiting for the moment to put this song out. And so part of the reason I am even adding my folk in is because I want to put the song out in a way that makes sense.
Yeah.
But Twang, so I just turned on, I freaking love Mason Ramsey. He's so, have you heard him? He's like,
yeah.
I was like this 9-year-old kid just yodeling.
Yeah.
So I was like, how? Let me try yodeling. And it's not easy, by the way. And I am by no stretch of imagination a great yodeler. But I literally was listening to Twang. I was singing along. And I was like, let me just try some yodeling on my stuff. And it's going to be on volume 2. It's one of my favorite songs I've ever done. And I'm not going to tell you the title yet. But we'll have this conversation. And I really am just like, I'm full going for it in the chorus. But I have to thank Mason Ramsey for inspiring me to think about yodeling.
Love it.
And, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll end up on a yodeling track together. But let me tell you, dancing, yodeling, and house, like house music, it really works together.
Love that. I love that.
So get ready. Yeah, get ready for that one. But Strangers has on a little bit on the chorus. There's a little bit of yodeling in this project. I'm more like saying yodel. It was like yodeling stage one.
Love it. Love it.
So...
Oh, speaking of love, you chose "Love Has No Limits" by Fleury.
Do you like? Did you hear that one?
I have. I've heard them all. Yeah, yeah. I went through them.
That one, it's one as again. It's that one that I tend to play it a lot at night. It just makes me feel really good.
Yeah,
I can't even explain it. I played it a lot. I think because of so much that I went through with self acceptance and accepting change and. I think just that line, love has no limits, it helps me. It's like wherever you are, you can always love more. You can always give more of yourself. You don't always have to, but you can. And yeah, like someone told me, write true and pure about what hurts. I write my story with more than words. I just really related to those lyrics. I really feel like that lyrics don't actually, or words don't fully encompass what I want to say, what I want to give. That's why even to my album, for this volume of music, I have a little movie that goes with it. And between the movie is a radio theater play. So between every music video, there's a play that you can actually get to know the characters. And it feels very surface layered, or surface level, but there's actually a very deep underlying journey that this character goes on, which ties in with a lot of the things that I've been through. I think like when life takes such an abrupt turn and kind of knocks you off or derails you from everything you knew, it's very challenging to accept that you're just never going to go that. You're never going to be on that path again, and you have to pave this new path, and it's very hard. Like you're bushwhacking, and
yeah,
and you're like, I'm done bushwhacking. I was on a train, I was on the tracks, I was flying, and now I'm bushwhacking. Like I don't want to do this anymore. And I lost my train of thought. Where was I beginning? Sorry.
You were talking about Love Has No Limits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, I was saying about how, like, those words. Yeah, write my story more than words. Yeah, yeah. So just, I can't, it's like what I've been through, the journey I've been through is just so, it's just so much is processed within me that, oh, yeah, I was talking about the story. Like, I was not ready to say, even to myself, what I had gone through. I mean, even just on top of my injury itself, I developed a condition called cluster headaches, and it's actually documented as one of the most painful human experiences on the planet. So I've been through levels of pain that are unimaginable, and getting through all of this was just so hard, and just wondering, will I ever truly be able to, even if I do what I love, will I really be able to enjoy it with this condition? And so hard. But I realized, so I decided one day, I can only make this next chapter work if it completely balances the opposite that I experienced. So it has to be completely love. It has to be completely passion, 100%, completely made with people I love. It can't just be about me. It has to be about everyone. I want everyone to be looked after, have a great time. I want them to look back on this journey as the best time of their life. And it has been exactly that. Like the process of making even these music videos, it's been such an adventure. We've been through Wyoming dino digging and there's so much. But yeah, the character in the story is a fantasy character I made out, not only to tell a bit of my struggle, but also to kind of see myself in a fictional way so that I can accept the obstacles that I faced in a way, and I didn't realize that till after I had created this character. But I processed trauma. We all process trauma in so many ways. And so I started painting. I'm all over the place. I'm like a firework right now of expression. But I guess it's like the Big Bang.
Yeah, but the fact that the creativity is exploding is such a positive thing, you know, whether it be painting, whether it be the new record, like the videos and stuff, it's like, it's all positive things are moving forward, right?
Yeah, it's like exploded and now it's taking on a life of its own. And I just go full trust. I'm like a feather. I just really trust. I trust my body and what it tells me. I try to listen to, we really don't listen to our bodies. Like, we'll be in so much pain every day. We'll be like, well, my back's been hurting for 3 years and do nothing about it.
You know? Yeah. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
If we actually listen to what our body tells us, it is always and forever trying to heal us, and it is only trying to protect us. So I just listen to myself now, and I listen when my gut says, don't go near this person or get this person out of your life. I listen. I used to not do that because my head would be like, well, don't burn that bridge or whatever. And now I'm like, burn the bridge.
Yeah, yeah.
Burn all the bridges, you know, only good bridges. And then you're left with only good. And it may be like less, but it's more because you're only getting the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
Best energy. Yeah, the best energy, the best experience, people who love you. Like when I got in the car crash, the amount of people that didn't reach out was shocking. I mean, I was hanging out with huge celebrities and it was red carpets and stuff. People heard. No one called. I realized I could have died and nobody would have cared. Now I have friends.
But those people ain't worth worrying about.
Exactly. Because,
you know, they're...
But I didn't know. I really thought that they were my friends.
Yeah.
That was quite a smack in the face. My friends now, like, I don't text back for a day and they're inquiring. Like, I guess the change that happened was I stopped looking at my individual projects as my greatest work of art. And I wanted my greatest work of art to be my life.
Yeah. You should never be defined by your work. You should be defined by who you are.
Yeah. I want to look back like that last breath or that last moment. I want to be like, wow, that was amazing. Yeah. Even with the struggles, because you can't take away the struggles. And that is part, the darkest part of what creates the light. But I want to look back and be like, wow, that was a beautiful life.
Yeah.
That's my hope.
That's a beautiful.
Yeah, that was the last song.
And the last song is...
There's one more?
There was one more. Which was...
Oh, it was What About My Masculinity by...
Yes.
Okay, I had to throw that on there.
By Lucky Love, yeah.
Lucky Love is an artist I'm so excited about. And I knew him before he was a musician. I just found him on Instagram. He was like throwing up his life. And he has been through so many different self-expressions. And I really relate to him because he just handles obstacles with so much grace. And it's just like, this is who I am today. You never know what you're going to get the next day. That song, What About My Masculinity, it's not about the same thing that I went through, but I went through a brain injury, which I still have, and having to accept a broken version of myself and question, like, am I enough? It's the feeling of what he is singing about. Was very similar to what I felt. There was a stage where I really I felt like nobody is going to like me the way I am now because my memory is terrible. I can't keep plans. I might have a headache and I can't get out of bed. I'm so unreliable. And it was a helpless situation. I had to be because I mainly had to be in bed. So like, how am I going to have a life? How am I going to have friendships? How am I going to have a relationship with this injury? How is anyone going to accept me? And that was really, really tough. Like, am I enough the way that I am now? Because this is what I am. But am I enough? So I don't know. He's, you know, Lucky Lau's been through, I'm sure, a lot of his own struggles. We actually just met for the first time in Los Angeles. We've been talking for 5 or 6 years online. And he's out of Paris. And I was just, the whole time I had my head injury, I would just, we'd just be messaging. And I remember he was like playing on the piano on one of his Insta posts. And I was like, you gotta do music. And he ended up going for it. And so I've been there literally. I was like, before, you know, where you find an artist early, I found an artist before you could even find them.
Yeah. It's incredible.
I've been there on that journey. And I just like to tell people about him. And that song, yeah, that's the song that really started clicking for his music career. And I relate to this sentiment a lot. So I wanted to throw that one on there.
Oh, well, I can pass that forward because, like I say, we put all of them tracks and the tracks that you've chosen. And obviously, your music will be on there as well, of course. And so people can go and explore all of the songs that you've been so kind to talk about today, Kaiser. We'll tag you in this if that's okay.
Yep.
And so anybody that isn't following you on the socials can do so as well. Kaiser, it's been an absolute joy talking records with you.
Likewise.
And thank you so much for giving up your time. And I wish you all the best with your journey and with your new record and the videos.
Thank you.
And all of your creative output.
Yeah, we should definitely chat again.
Absolutely. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah.
No problem.
It was a really good interview. Like, I really liked this conversation.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm going to press stop, but don't go anywhere.
Okay.
There you have it. That's some journey, right? And yeah, thanks to Kaiser for being so open and honest and sharing. So I love the fact that she'd given us 14 tracks and weren't going to go anywhere till she'd rattled off that other seven, which was fantastic because they're the ones that I had first. They were the ones that I'd listened to. And there is some absolute gems on there. So head over to Spotify and listen to the song picks that Kaiser sent over. Like I said at the beginning, please head over to Patreon and support the podcast there. There's a link in the show notes to this where you can click Buy Me a Coffee. If you liked that episode or any of the episodes that we put out over the years, then click Buy Me a Coffee and you can buy me a coffee because coffee's nice. I'm back next time. In the meantime, be nice to each other. I will see you soon. Thanks again for listening. Bye-bye.